gospel reading for us today from the Gospel of John, and it's John 15. Jesus is speaking. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if I do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another." So, excuse me while we're experimenting with some technology here, and I think it's going to be okay. Okay, there we go. So, some of our folks went on a journey together in North Houston a few weeks ago to the Texas-Louisiana Gulf Coast Synod Assembly. Lots of words there. And what's a synod, you might ask? Well, a synod, that's a Greek word, and it means walking together. That's what it means, walking together. And in the Gulf Coast Synod, our synod, led by Bishop Mike Reinhardt, some of you have met him. He's a great pianist, and he was a pastor at Grace Lutheran in Conroe before he became bishop. We walked together in mission with 120 ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America congregations. Our territory stretches from New Orleans, where some of us were last weekend with Gethsemane Church, our partner church, all the way to Brenham, and then north to Lufkin and south to Galveston. And in that territory, there are actually a total of 60 synods in the whole country. And it makes us different, by the way, from independent congregations, right? When we belong to a denomination. Because we walk with our fellow churches in the ELCA with at least three common beliefs that we share in common. First, a passionate belief that God unconditionally loves every single human being. Amen? That's important to us. Secondly, we believe that in the death and resurrection of Christ and the table that he sets for us, all are welcome to that table, regardless of their background, regardless of their denominational differences. All are welcome at his table, not our table. Amen? And finally, we do believe, just as we heard from Jesus in the gospel reading, that we're called to love others just as Jesus loved us. So we share in this synod with some incredible ministries that we could not do alone. We couldn't do it by ourselves. And walking with these 120 congregations, so much more is possible. So our delegates to the Synod Assembly, who are here with me now, want to share with you some of those ministries there and celebrate what we have received at the Synod Assembly with you now. So Mike, take it away.
We're still celebrating, so that's what's going on. I'm Mike Hall, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about two things. One is going to be LEAD, which is an acronym for Living Every Day as a Disciple. That's what LEAD stands for. And also tell you a little bit of election results. But first off, I'm going to look at LEAD. LEAD's a program that started by Peggy Hahn. It was created by her, and it's administered by her. LEAD identifies leaders in the church. It's about fostering relationships in the church and leadership in a fast-changing world. It's about developing Christian leaders and developing a congregation that are faith-forming cultures. Now, what LEAD has, it has different areas, you know, they could call it. They're actually growth indicators. And these growth indicators are heart, soul, mind, and strength. As far as heart is concerned, heart involves listening for meaningful mission, service, and doing justice in the world, neighborhood, and in the congregation. Soul. Soul involves centering for waking up to a deeper relationship with God, purposeful community, and our own identity. And mind. Mind basically involves exploring new perspectives, asking questions, opening our mindset about God and about life. Then strength, the final indicator. It's basically connects us to community and strengthens us spiritually, physically, emotionally, and it helps our mental wholeness. Now, we were all given copies of Peggy Hahn's The Sacred Valley, which is actually an exercise. It's a spiritual exercise. There's really great scriptural quotes in here as you go through, and lots of insight that Peggy went through as far as the development of this program is concerned. But this is a workbook. It's actually a workbook that you get and that helps you with LEAD. This is directly centered on LEAD. So it's called The Spiritual Valley, but this was all given to us, and it was very helpful, too. The elections. Good news on the elections. One of our parishioners was elected to a committee, and that's going to be Kent Frappier. Kent was elected to the Discipline Committee, and that's for a 6-year term. So things went on, and things went on very well. It was an exciting time. I really enjoyed it. This is my third one that I've been to, and if you ever are asked to go to a synod assembly and see what's going on with the other congregations that are in the Texas-Louisiana Gulf Coast Synod. So, celebration.
Hi, my name is Linda Page. I'm going to talk about two things that I believe strongly in, immigration and refugee services. Jeannie, my assistant, is holding up just some websites. Two of them are on the slide, but there are some myths about immigration, and since we are a global world now and we have a lot of immigrants coming into the United States and into Texas, it's something that I feel like as a church we're going to have to address and deal with in the future. I've got a couple of myths, though, that I think people have heard about immigrants. The first one is most immigrants are here illegally, and in fact, this is not the truth. We have 40.2 million immigrants in the United States. 72% of them are in the U.S. legally. A second myth is that immigrants take jobs away from U.S. citizens, when in fact, immigrants at all skill levels create job opportunities. Immigrants are 30% more likely than U.S.-born citizens to form new businesses. And I know in teaching English as a second language and having a citizenship class here at Lord of Life, a lot of my students who have become friends are really working hard to create businesses, or they have jobs and they are paying their taxes just like we do. Another myth, this has to do with refugees, is that the U.S. is admitting more refugees than ever before. Again, this is a myth. In 1980, 207,000 refugees were admitted to the U.S. In 2002, only 26,000 refugees. So refugee arrivals here are going down. Another myth is that most refugees resettled to the U.S. come from Africa. Again, this is a myth. Most of our refugees now come from Burma and Bhutan and Iraq. Also, the U.S. bears most of the responsibility of resettling refugees. No, again, this is not the case. The fact is that the United States only resettles a small fraction of refugees from around the world. Jordan and Pakistan and Malta have many, 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 many high percentages of refugees. So, I think it will be our place as Christians to help new people that are coming to the United States to get assimilated, and perhaps they will become part of our community and church. Also, she is the bishop of the ELCA, Elizabeth Eaton, says, we are church, we are Lutheran, we are church together, and we are church for the sake of the world. The theme for the Synod Assembly was go make disciples, and of course, you have an opportunity with the crisis in Nepal, with the earthquake, to help. That was mentioned at the first service. There are envelopes in the back that are separate if you want to help with the Nepal earthquake. Lutheran World Relief, LWR, not only helps countries who have national disasters, but also helps third world countries get on their feet, so to speak. We help all over the world with agriculture, getting wells, water wells started, all kinds of different opportunities. In our church, we have Anne and Ed Spalding are very involved with Lutheran World Relief, but LWR is always at the forefront of being there when a disaster happens. So we're sending over 9,000 quilts, 1,000 personal care kits. That happened immediately when the earthquake happened on April 25th. LWR is sending 100 water filtration units so their water is safe while they recover. And how can you help? Give to the Nepal Earthquake Fund. Pray for those affected. We do quilts and kits at our church if you're interested in that. And spread the word throughout your congregation. So I thank our work is ahead of us. Go make disciples.
Good morning, I'm Beth Hall. I had the pleasure of attending my first Synod Assembly, which I would like to report was quite educational and a very spiritual experience. And like my husband said, if you do have the opportunity to serve, I would encourage you to do so. We had a group of young adults who formed a panel, and these were young adults between the ages of 18 and 35, was the demographic. And it was called Mission Focus Young Adults. So it was very, very enlightening. It ranged from churched young adults who had been churched from the, you know, when they were young children, all the way to unchurched young adults who still are struggling with their belief. So we got a pretty good range of what's, you know, we're looking at as far as our mission with the young adults. And I'm going to share some of their thoughts with you. Some of the young adults feel like the church, it doesn't have to be brick and mortar. They felt like the church could be any place, okay? Sometimes they looked at church as being an exclusion. They had that feeling towards it. However, that being said, we had the young adults who are where they are today because of the church. So it was very, like I said, it was very interesting. They think that media and society form a lot of young people's beliefs nowadays. And this was one of their comments. I'd just rather sit down with the pastor and have a beer. So I thought that was really interesting, and I wrote it down to share with you this morning. And then in the meantime, I got an email, and it was one that Bishop Mike was mentioned in, and he had a blurb in there about where you can meet and sit down and have a beer or root beer with the bishop. So I think following up on that comment is just huge, and kind of an example of what type of leadership we do have with Bishop Mike as well. So another thought that they shared was maybe the church needs to be on Facebook to attract young adults. They shared that they felt uncomfortable sometimes. Part of the reason maybe why they didn't come to the brick-and-mortar church was because they might be labeled a church person. That being said, they really were very interested. Most of the young adults up there seem very committed to social values and social ministry. So that was huge for them. They reported that to us. They think it's important to minister to the transients. The church, they said, needs to shake things up sometimes. So again, these are our millennials. They felt like, I think they shared this, that they struggle with faith, and they tend to be cynical, and have a fear of commitment. So just knowing all that, I'm really hoping that we take a good look at our outreach and our mission for young adults in this church. Thank you.
Do you enjoy our noisemakers? I'm Jeannie Lawson. I was delighted to be at the Synod Assembly. It was my first time as well. I've been asked to talk about the keynote speaker. It's Pastor Rudy Rasmus. He was a very interesting man. He came out on the stage, and gentlemen, he had taken his beard and woven it into four dreadlocks. Can you imagine if Pastor Gary did something like that?
I have to tape him on.
He was a very dynamic speaker. He and his wife have developed a church that was really failing. It is St. John's Church. It's United Methodist in downtown Houston. They serve a very diverse group of people. They've grown from a very small group to a very large group, and in fact, they have organized a satellite church in Northwest Houston. His message is, be the love. He travels all over the U.S. and Europe giving that message. He's also an author. And when he was asked, how did you do this? How did you build your church from a small church to a very large church? He said, I didn't wait for people to come to us. I went out into the community, to restaurants, to coffee shops, talking to the community and finding out their needs and their pain. And then I came back and we organized different programs and things to address that. His parishioners did the same thing. So he challenged us to come back to our churches and not sit back and wait for people, visitors, to come here, but we need to go out to the community. It was quite an interesting address. My second thing that I want to talk about is something very dear to my heart, and that's Luther Hill Ministries in LaGrange. When Matt Kinsfodder, who is the executive director, came out on the stage, people from Luther Hill came out. They were throwing beach balls. They had beach music going. And they had this big announcement. And what that was that Luther Hill Ministries is expanding to Galveston. They are going to be opening the Zion Retreat Center. This should be done late this fall. And the neat thing was, they've raised every cent of the money that needed to be raised for this. Now, this retreat center will house what has 9 sleeping rooms. It will house 36 people. Each room has a private bathroom. That's pretty important. Commercial kitchen, a meeting room, and so on. So this is some place where our small groups can get together for retreats, possibly next year. It was a great time, and I enjoyed it. So we're going to celebrate.
Hi, my name is Sue Mooring, and I'm here to talk about our global missions with CAR, Central African Republic, and Peru. In the ELCA, which is an acronym for Lutheran Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, we have 60 synods and our synod being one of them. And with that, we're all partnered up one or two countries, and ours are the Central African Republic and Peru. We have had teams that have gone there. We've had the bishop go. We've had assistant to the bishop, Peggy Hahn. And initially, we had a team go when it was to dedicate the women's center over there. And Carolyn Jacobs went there. She's fluent in French. And there were some other people that went. But we do have a CAR team, which is headed up by Carolyn, as well as some other people, but also Pastor Mike Button, who is a pastor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Baton Rouge. And, excuse me, we do have 15 churches in Peru. And with that, we are, most of them are partnered up. And so the ones that are partnered up right now, we have a Peru table discussion that we go to attend to. Mike and I are on that team representing Lord of Life. We meet about every 3 months or so to discuss what things are maybe needing to be done, or, you know, they have a synod down there. It's called ELEP, as we have a synod, and we try to partner up with them and to see what needs we are what we can do to help them. Okay, and so, and that also with the CAR, the Lutheran Church is actually the growing faster in Africa than everywhere else in the world. Yet its resources, as you can imagine, are limited. During the Civil War in the CAR, the Lutheran Church there has been a strong leader and a promoter of dialogue to rebuild and to bring hope to local people. The thing it is what's comparison between the Central African Republic and Peru is the Central African Republic has a president. They had an assembly the same time we were meeting to elect their president. I don't know who that person is right now. Pastor Golecki was at our Synod Assembly last year. He came over and was a great presence at the Synod Assembly last year. And then also in Peru, they have what's called a president, not a bishop, like we do. But what it is the difference between our synod and their synod is that their president is also a pastor of two churches. He's not just going around to all the different churches. That, like I said, there's 15 of them. So he's very, very busy, as you can imagine. And all of the pastors in Peru are part-time, and which we just have to, you know, as we do, we are partnered up with Philadelphia Lutheran Church, where the pastor is Pastor Adita Torres, and to keep them all in your prayers. And so I just want to say thank you for having been allowed to be one of your voting members at the Synod Assembly. Thank you.
Well, Bishop Mike at the Assembly asked all 120 of our congregations to walk together in a synod-wide initiative called the Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations. And these are signs, things we're called to grow in always in doing together as the church. And some of these we do quite well in, but this is going to be to take a look at all these areas of ministry. And here's the imaginative titles for the five practices of fruitful congregations. And as you'll hear these phrases, and let yourself begin to imagine what each one might look like for us at Word of Life. Radical hospitality, passionate worship, intentional faith development, risk-taking service, and extravagant generosity. And all of these pour out of a response to how Jesus loved us. And if we join in this venture with our sister congregations, the church council and our staff and all of us will be involved through worship themes, and there will be an opportunity for people to be in small groups to consider these five fruitful practices, and there will be some very practical workbooks for all of our ministry teams in these various areas, in these areas, radical hospitality, passionate worship, intentional faith development, risk-taking service, and extravagant generosity. So stay tuned for that. And then finally, we do conduct quite a bit of business at the Synod Assembly, and we have one more piece of good news to celebrate. After several years of declining income in the Gulf Coast Synod, this last year income was up by $100,000. That means our congregations are even more committed now to working together, to walking together. And we have to feel good about Lord of Life. We've been consistently good partners with the Synod, that we give 12.5% of our income every year goes to the broader mission of the whole church. And we got to feel good about that. So thank you for your commitment to that. So sharing in the work of the Gulf Coast Synod is part of how We at Lord of Life love others as Jesus loved us in some powerful ways we could not do alone. You can be proud of the work we do together as the broader church, and if you want to get involved in synod ministries on a broader level, just let us know. There's many opportunities, as you heard. In the meantime, back to our daily lives, we're invited to grow in this simple calling. Love one another as Jesus has loved you. Unconditionally, inviting all to God's table of grace and developing fruitful practices that lead others to Jesus. And all God's people say, amen.